Thank you, Pastor. And a very good morning to all. We've got a big group of kids. So good. And then when Ho Peng prayed about the future generation, we are a blessed church because we have got lots and lots of potential. Hallelujah. God is so good. And thank you for bringing us so much joy. I think Rajiv, our song worship leader, looked into my notes. Because the songs, a lot of them reflect what I'm going to share. And Rajiv's song says, to go tell it on the mountain, because Christ is my reward. Wow, this is beautiful. And that Christ is enough for me. How did Rajiv know that my title of the sharing today is reward? That Christ is my reward, and that Christ is enough for me. I don't know whether Christ is enough for you. If he's not, then today, may the Lord Jesus be enough for you. When you have got Jesus, you have got everything. It's enough. Hallelujah. Let us all pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are enough. You know, in this Christmas season, you know, we want to get food and it's like, oh, not enough. Or we want to get presents, it's like, oh, we haven't shopped enough. But Lord, when we have you, we have enough. Because God, you are our reward. This morning, open up your word to us so that every word that you feed us is enough to fill up every part of us so that we can truly say, indeed, oh God, you are my reward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I've heard people say this, that I don't do things for the reward. That's a really nice and noble way of going about life, that you don't do things for the reward. I think for most parts, it's true that we are not to do things for the reward, because if you only do things for the reward and if you don't get rewarded, sometimes you won't do those things. So for most parts, it is true that we mustn't do things for the reward, because doing the thing itself is actually the reward. Like the people are cooking, and yesterday I was with them just for a short while. I see them laughing and all, and they were putting on the Christmas songs. It's like, cooking is the reward. And I agree with you that we don't want to do things only for the reward. But I wonder what happens if you constantly do things without the expectancy of reward. I wonder if it's ever actually possible that we can do things without expecting rewards. If you put in the efforts and you get no returns. It's like you go to the orchard, buy an apple tree, right? And you buy this apple tree and you know this apple tree can either fruit or not, but then you tell yourself, now I'm just going to part with my $30 and I'm going to put in the optimal care to this apple tree, and it doesn't matter if I get any apples or not. Now, I don't know whether you do this. I'm not sure if we've got people like this who would get a fruit tree, an apple tree, and then say, nah, I'm not going to expect any rewards because, you know, it's okay. Just the reward of growing the tree is enough. I don't think so, huh? I think a lot of us want the value for money. In fact, you want the cheapest apple tree and get the most apples from that tree. Am I correct? Am I correct? And if you notice, Pastor Stewart recently, he has got that joy in his face. Because every time he comes to the office, he says, I did it again. What did he do? And the last Friday, he actually did 30 kilometers of cycling all the way from Stirling, his house, to the city. Is that right, Pastor? Wow. Wow. There is a reward. Come on, your pastor is active. One of the values of the church is being active, and our pastor, our senior pastor, is active. And he did 30 kilometers because he is rewarded by the fact that he pushed his body to do the kilometers. And he is strong and he is healthy, and he is rewarded when he reached his destination. And that's because he has got a goal. The goal is that he wants to reach And it's that church, isn't it, at first? Huh? It was like reaching that church, like, I can do it, I can do it. There is a goal. And then when he goes nearer to that church in Leaderville, it's like he will be rewarded soon. And the reward just kept him going. And having reward is actually a biblical thing. Because if you read the Bible, in the parable of the 10 cities, this guy took care of the 10 cities, and what was his reward? 10 more cities. There was this guy who was working for 5 cities, and what was his reward? 5 more cities. Wow, we do things for reward. So this morning, if you only do things, no reward, no nothing in mind, well, I may want to change your mind, because today we're going to talk about a very special reward. And this reward is going to be revealed to us in 5 days' time. And that is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the song says, and Rajiv sang it so well, that Jesus indeed is my reward. For the Bible tells us that in Genesis 15:1, that Jesus is our exceedingly great reward. Jesus is the fuel, and he's the sustenance, he's the nourishment, and he's the reward for Abraham. That's why in Genesis 15:1, the Lord says to him audibly, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, and I am your exceedingly great reward." Your life will change, and your assignments that God has given you will take on a new meaning when you regard Jesus as your exceedingly great reward. Because like Paul in Philippians 3:14, he fixed his eyes towards Jesus, who is the reward, the goal, and the prize. And what an exciting life if our eyes are fixed on the author and finisher of our faith to complete whatever assignments that God has given to us. We can complete our assignments, but if we fix our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, the exceedingly great reward, then you'll be able to finish your assignment with the joy that Paul was given, with the joy that a lot of us here have when we do things with Christ in mind. Rewards are great, and I'm going to tell you some good benefits of rewards. The first one is this, that reward will keep you re-energized. If you think you've got energy and you hear of the reward or see the reward will keep you re-energized. Last week, we have Pastor Patrick Humberstone. He's an energetic man, huh? About our sort of age, huh, Pastor? He would be about our age. So energetic. It's not the gym. It is, well, it's also the gym, yeah? It's also the exercise. But I believe it's his passion for the Lord Jesus to go tell it on the mountain. Such an energetic man. And he says this. He says, we need to be in the realm of expectancy. Because when you are in the realm of expectancy, it will create a new pathway in you. The minute I hear pathway, I get excited because, you know, I like the brain. It will create a new pathway in your brain. When you focus on the reward, something happens in your brain. Your dopamine level goes up and your motivation is high, and then you want to take action because you can't help it. When the dopamine level is high, your adrenaline goes up. That's why when pastor sees the church, is like, come on, come on, come on. And his body manufactures the adrenaline, the dopamine, the motivation to take action and to go towards the goal. And when he reaches the goal, it is all so rewarding. It's like, tomorrow, I might do it again. Rewarding, because the hope level is high and hope fuels you. When Jesus is your exceedingly great reward and your eyes are fixed on him, it re-energizes you. It re-energizes you, and it's quite interesting I put that re there. I think some of us, our walls may need a bit of re-energizing. Yeah, like flaking and peeling off, huh? And your wife may be saying, that's you. And it's good to be re-energized. But when you keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, is in a re-energization of a different kind. It re-energizes you that no matter how high your mountain is, it does not become insurmountable because your eyes are on the victory on the other side. That's what happens when you look to Jesus as your exceedingly great reward. 2020 saw a very huge mountain of misery, of mishap, of misfortune. It was a really, really huge mountain. And it is like what the carol, O Holy Night, says, O weary world. It is really quite a weary world. We're all tired, like, when is it going to stop? Like, oh, it's good. And then again, the cases come, like, when is it going to stop? It's like COVID-19 had really been a thief of the strength and the vitality of our world. But our perspective will change when our focus is on the exceeding great reward that is in Jesus. When we hear Jesus says, but hey, I tell you, in the world you will have many troubles, but take heart. In the world you have COVID-19 and it's been going on for months and months. WA, we are so thankful, we are so healthy, so good. We go shopping and we go eating, no problem. No community spread. We really enjoy. You must seize every moment when you eat, eat with gratefulness. Yeah, and it's so good. But our perspective will change when we hear what Jesus says, that you are to take heart because I have overcome the world. You still have your problems when you look to Jesus as your exceeding great reward. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm preaching a sort of a sermon where when you believe in Jesus, every mountain goes away. No. Jesus says, you will have the mountains. You will have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Your problem will still be there. Your problem shrink in size because Jesus increases in size. No wonder John the Baptist says, oh God, you increase, I decrease. You, oh God, your glory increase. Me, oh God, my problem, my perspective decreases. And like what Rajiv sang just now in the song, it says, God never fails. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it's when we wake up, we open our eyes and say, this is a good morning. And God's mercies are new every morning. I'm going to fix my eyes on the Lord, that a new motivation, a new inner energy will come to you because God is our sustaining power to go towards whatever the goal is or to overcome our odds. Some weeks ago, Sharon, you were sharing, and Sharon, you know, is a missionary in Sri Lanka, and you were sharing about how the Lord impressed on you to give gifts to the pastors. And you remember that talk that we have. And afterwards, I spoke with Sharon, and Sharon spoke with me with equally big eyes and energy, because she's really energetic for the Lord. And she was really telling me with big eyes and great energy, she says, you know, the pastor's gifts. Do you know that I just sort of like obey the Lord and just get the gifts for the pastors, and already on top of caring for the children in the school, this is like an additional burden, isn't it? But what do you do when God wants you to do something and it's like calling you to do the extra mile, you know? Unless you fix your eyes on the exceeding reward that is in Jesus, it's kind of hard sometimes to do that, huh? But Sharon obeyed and Sharon did that. And with big eyes, she told me, she says, you know what? The love offering that Grace City Church gave to her during that time through the initiation of pastor canceled out that total expenditure. Wow, I tell you what, this is like Sharon's outlook was changed to believe God for finances. And the more you believe God, that God is the reward, the more you want to experience it because you've tasted the reward. And it's so true. The dopamine level is linked with addiction. It's like you are addicted to looking to Jesus for that new joy or that new something that you are waiting for is addictive. But what the world leaves us after we are addicted and we have satisfied our addiction, it leaves us high and dry. But the Lord Jesus leaves us higher and higher because he wants to transform us from glory to glory. Like, if God can provide for me in that area, God can provide for me when he asked me to do a certain big thing. Your faith begins to expand because your reward is with you. You focus your eyes on the reward. And after talking with Sharon and after hearing what she said that day, Sharon taught me one thing. That is, we need to focus not just on the responsibility. A lot of us just focus on the responsibility, like, oh, so hard. Don't focus on the responsibility merely, but to focus on the reward that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you can be re-energized. Sharon taught me not to focus on the problem, but focus on the perspective that God wants me to have. And that is re-energizing. Well, of course, God is not our ATM machine. Abraham in the Bible trusted God and his promises, not for finances, but he believed that God was going to be his exceedingly great reward. He believed that God is going to provide a son he was looking for. He believed that Jesus was going to be the glory of Israel. He believed that. And God and him became friends. We are not to only get money from our Father, like only money, dispenser of money, but that God is really our friend. There was a cartoon that I just recently received in my WhatsApp message. And this boy was asking his classmate, he says, you know, are you related to anyone famous? So this other boy kind of like, you know, perked up his shoulders and he says, oh yes, of course. I don't want to brag about this, but I heard Dad calling God his friend and his father. Abram knew God would reward him with his long-awaited son, both in Isaac and in the Lord Jesus. And it was the reward that re-energized him throughout his lifetime. And each time he looked up in the sky, he saw the stars, and he says, yes, oh God, you are my exceedingly great reward. I see the star and I see the children, just like Hoping prayed just now. I see the children, I see the future generations. God wants to give us a sign, something. You need to look for it yourself. For Abram, he was looking into the sky with all these stars, and he says, oh God, you are indeed going to be my reward, and I'm going to focus on you. Whenever he looks down, he says, no children. He looks down, he says, how? No, nothing, okay? He looks in the sky, and he saw the stars, and his energy got activated again. I pray that as God wants to do an exceedingly new thing in us, that we look to him as the exceedingly great reward, because it is in him that we can do new things. And in him, we can do his things, not our things. Our things, very small. You know, I like to do small things. Actually, I like a small house, Andre. I always like small things, you know. I don't know why. After I became a Christian, a lot of things became bigger. Like, no, I can't do this, God. I can't do this. This is too big. But it is when you do those things, you begin to see that God is your exceedingly great reward. If it's a small thing, if it's something you do, then you might as well do with your own energy. But when you do a big thing, a bigger thing, and God empowers you, then you can do it with God's energy and the motivation God has given in you to accomplish what His Spirit wants to do in your lifetime. The second thing about reward is reward keeps you resilient, like strong, keeps you resilient, keeps you keeping on, keep you going on. And there is a woman in the New Testament that is an inspiration to tell me that reward keeps us resilient. One thing, when you look at her, you wouldn't believe that she was 84. because her face shone with such a joy, and her voice is very powerful. Her voice boomed, like, you know, when you go to Optus Stadium, and then you're watching a very exciting football game, and you're like, go, go, go. Yeah, that's her sort of voice. Because when she was so excited about this thing that she was waiting for and the fulfillment of that thing, she burst out and begin to tell people around her in that booming voice, in that energetic voice, that indeed, oh, her Savior is in town. Her whole life was dedicated to only one thing, and that is to stay in one spot for 60 to 70 years to wait for her exceedingly great reward. And she was only to be in that place to pray. She was chosen just to pray. And if you look at her background, she was only a widow. At that time, widows are very helpless and very vulnerable in society. In fact, the church was inspired to actually care for widows because widows were not cared for by the community. And she couldn't remain up to date with a lot of information about the issues that confront Roman society. She's not very literate at that time. And she didn't know the exact solutions, how to solve the problem of Roman society being so oppressive and being so cruel. She has got no solution. She has often heard about the Messiah, but she has got no solutions whatsoever. But she wouldn't just settle to be who she thought she was going to be and what others thought she would be without her husband, because she knew that God was going to be her reward. And she knew that one thing she could do whilst waiting for this reward was to pray and to fast. And it was that prayer life of hers that she began to actually see the one who brought transformation to the entire political, social, and spiritual order. I would say that sometimes our journeys are like that, isn't it? Maybe you also prayed this morning, like, oh God, am I supposed to only just do this one thing? Like, you asked me to do this, I've been doing this for 20 years, I've been doing this for 10, 15 years. It's like, do I still go on doing and doing the same thing? It's like, we can't go anywhere, we only stay in one place. And our premier calls it the island within the island. It's like, okay, I'm going to Geraldton 3 times, and do I still go again? It's like, where do we go? It's like one place, like our entire life, even though it's only 1 year, it's like we are to stay in one place. And in our perspective, we may say that it's very narrow, it's very limited, and it's very unimaginative. But thank God our perspective is not God's perspective. In God's perspective, we look different. For this woman that I was mentioning, who is 84, staying in one place and doing just one thing, to her, it was just staying in one place, doing one thing. But to the Lord, she was like the radiant bride, the one without spot and without wrinkle, even though she was 84. And when she saw Jesus, the exceedingly great reward of everything that she was waiting for, she burst into praises and she spoke to the people around her who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna. When Anna set eyes on Jesus in that temple, all the long years of waiting melted into gratitude and love. And the light in the baby Jesus' eyes, that flicker in his eyes, would light up the eyes of Anna and fill up all her eggs and fill up all the missing parts and all her grief being widowed 7 years after her marriage. Church, when you hold on to God's promises and you hold on and see life from God's perspective, that whatever you are doing, and you look to him as the exceedingly great reward, even though the road is long and full of problems, and we don't know how long this road is of recovery is. Thank God WA has already come out of the recession. That's what our Josh Frydenberg is saying, that we are out of this recession, but we are still on recovery. And we don't know how long this recovery will take us. So the road may be long, the road may be full of problems and full of uncertainty. We don't know where it's going. But I pray that today, when you fix your eyes on the exceedingly great reward, that you will be kept radiant, like Anna, 84 and radiant, that you'll be kept resilient because the Holy Spirit is in you to sustain you. I pray that God's promises will generate in you an expectancy that will affect how you live. And one of the things you could do is to set up your environment of resilience. Don't say, I want to be resilient. But how are you doing it? Oh, don't know. Don't you just become resilient? No. That's what I do in counseling as well. Like, okay, you want to be this? Very good. What steps are you taking? Oh, I've got no steps. All right, let me help you with steps. You need to set up your environment of resilience. For Anna, she chose the temple because it was in the temple that motivated her to hope, because she was given scriptures, she was given worship, she was given prayer, she was surrounded by prayerful people who would come into the temple. So she began to be motivated. If you want to be motivated to cycle, don't just dream of the bicycle. Don't just Google the bicycle. Hang around with Pastor. You need to set up your environment to be motivated. And if you want to swim, it is not good enough to think of the swimming pool and to Google all the interesting swimming pools in the world and to sit in front of the TV with a lot of snacks. That's not going to help you with the environment to motivate you to swim. So same thing for Anna. She wants to be waiting for the Savior, and she doesn't know how long he's going to take. But she says, I'm going to be in the temple, and I'm going to be there amongst prayerful people, and I'm just going to allow God to fill me with the resilience to wait for the Savior. I pray whatever your goals are, whatever your wishes are, I pray that you will set up your environment for that particular whatever you are looking for to increase. Because I believe when you set up the environment of resilience, you are allowing the God of hope to fill you with the joy and the peace. And as you begin to trust in Him, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a Christmas season, and I pray that the church overflows with hope, because we really do have the God of hope in us, put in us by the power of the Spirit. And it's only when we've got the overflow of hope, with the hope of Christ, that even the darkest place will give way to glory. I just want to say this to you, and I wrote this, and I want to read it as it is, that Jesus sees your silent sacrifice as a wife, as a husband, as a mother, as a father, as a worker, as a leader, as an employee, as an employer, as a student, as a teacher. I want to say that nothing you do is ignored or unnoticed by God. I truly believe this, that God wants to, even though you give yourselves silently in a corner, maybe nobody knows, that God will openly reward you, because He is truly your exceedingly great reward. You seek Him diligently, and He will be that exceedingly great reward. So reward keeps you re-energized. Reward keeps you resilient, and reward keeps you ready. It keeps you ready. There's this person in the Bible, very, very inspiring as well in his readiness. And he heard this in his mind. He says, today is the day, he said. And he says, go to the temple, for there will be your exceedingly great reward. Then he asked himself, like, could it be this day that Christ is going to break into the world in an unprecedented way? And he tried to think, But he couldn't shake that voice out of his mind. He kept having this voice that resonated within him, a deep assurance that this is going to be the day he's waiting for. And he knew that something good is going to happen. Do you have this feeling like we wake up and it's like, something good is going to happen. Something good is installed. This guy woke up, and he was from the New Testament in the Bible. He woke up and he says, something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. I know it. Today is the day. And he didn't know what he was going to do or what was going to happen, but he knew that it was a very familiar voice that has helped him live a righteous life and a devout life all this time, because he feared God and he took God really seriously. And so what happens was, when he heard the voice, he says, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the temple. So it was the voice of the Spirit that keeps him ready, right? When he heard the voice, today is the day, his feet just can't help it. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you want to do something and you just can't help it. Like, it's such a strong voice. It's exactly what happened to this man. There was no time to waste. And Pastor Patrick Cumberstone is so right. When you live in the realm of expectancy, it is not the realm of your feeling. When you live in the realm of expectancy, when you know that whatever you are doing is of the Lord, and that the Lord is your exceedingly great reward, when you know that you are in that realm, it is not a feeling. It is a readiness. It is a readiness. There was no time to waste. Simeon got up from where he was. And the man I was talking about is Simeon. Simeon hurried to the temple, and his eyes laid hold of the baby Jesus, the evidence of what he has been promised, the consolation and the glory of Israel, the light to the Gentiles. And as he held the baby in his arm, Simeon looked at the baby, and the light in the eyes of baby Jesus flickered back at him. And then Simeon says, now I can die in peace. I've heard people, you know, when they eat certain food, and it's like, wow, they have dreamt this food for a long time. They eat it, and then the thing exploded in the mouth. And they say, I can die already. I've heard people, when they go traveling, like they've been dreaming this for 30 years, they went to that spot, and they enjoy the ambience and the whoa, and they felt it, and they say, I don't have to go any place anymore. This is it. I can die already. Huh? It's a very funny thing. Huh? How come we want to die so often and so much? I don't know why, but we do that. Because something in us just say, I am so satisfied. Simeon, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, when he put Jesus in his arms and he looked at him, the exceedingly great reward of salvation, he praised God deeply and thankfully, and he says, wow, this can be my last day and I don't care. Because Simeon has seen the worst of the worst. Just recently, the massacre of all the two-year-old infants is testimony to the oppressive and the cruel rule of the bloodthirsty Roman emperors. He has enough of the cruelty of the Roman Empire. It's just like, sometimes it's like, you know, you look at the TV and it's so many things happening here and then. It's like, it's enough, like, so oppressive, sometimes. And many of Simeon's relatives and neighbors have already given up. They say, don't just forget it, you know. God has promised, but, you know, sometimes God don't fulfill his promise. Just don't bother. You know, God has rejected us. God has abandoned us. It's been hundreds of years. Don't worry about it. All his neighbors come around and tell him that. But Simeon was different. Simeon was so devout and so righteous. The power of the Holy Spirit was in him. He could have been cynical. He could have been wary if he had focused on the problem of the day all the hopelessness or the oppression or the political unrest. We could have been wary just looking at these things, but Simeon carried within him the spiritual practices that was necessary for the coming of the Lord Jesus. He was so caught up because his spirit was filled with so much word of Jesus. His eyes were so much filled with that light of the reward that is in Christ. He was so caught up with the perspective of God, with the plan of God, with the hope of God, with the light of God. He was on God's side. And when that light is in you, it will penetrate the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. I pray that that will be the sort of light that is in us, invincible, impenetrable, because the light of Jesus will enable us to go through everything that He wants us to go through. We just had the pastor's meeting, and Pastor Pauline, in her inspiring moment, came up with this parable of the 10 virgins, and I'm still thinking about it. And I went home and I meditate on the parable of the 10 virgins. You see, the 5 virgins, they were ready to meet their goal. They were ready to meet their prize. They were ready to meet their exceedingly great reward, who is their beloved bridegroom. They were unlike the other 5 who were also equally excited. They were excited, yay, we're going to see our bridegroom. Yay, we've got our goal, we've got our reward. Yes, we got our prize. But their lamps were empty. But these 5 virgins were willing to forgo any activities that will burn their oil. These 5 virgins were focused on letting the main thing be the main thing, and the main thing for them was to wait for the bridegroom, whom they know will come suddenly and will leave suddenly. That's a Jewish custom. They come, they take. Huh? Oh, women are like that. So good. You know, you better quickly come and take, or else they may be, they may change their mind. And the bridegroom will come suddenly, will take the bride suddenly, and then leave. And they knew it. The 5 virgins knew it. And so they were ready. They were so ready for the arrival of the Lord Jesus, who is their goal and their exceedingly great reward. I just pray that we will be like the 5 virgins, so ready to trim our lamps, so ready to get the oil, so ready. Don't get excited only the last minute, and then you don't know where to get oil, don't know where to get toilet paper, don't know where to pasta, don't know where to get. Store enough toilet paper, store enough pasta in your house, and you'll be safe whether or not there is rumor that this is going to come again or not come again. You just have your toilet paper. Keep your oil ready. Keep your things ready, because when the power of the Spirit is in you and your eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus, you will be ready. Wow. And it was this readiness that motivated Simeon to keep waiting and waiting, because God told him, Simeon, you will not die until Jesus comes. And it preserved him, it motivated him to be ready, because he was doing the things of God. He was living that righteous, devout life. See, the quest for the Lord Jesus and this great reward prolonged his life. Every day there was something to live for. Every day you are requested to live on. Every morning he woke up with this thought, today is the day of the salvation of the Lord. I pray that every morning you wake up, whatever has happened before, whatever has happened last night, the week before, you wake up and you say, whatever it is, God's mercies are new today. Today is the day of the salvation of the Lord. And I pray that you'll be so present in the way you live. Be present in the way you live. Don't just live in the past. Don't live in the future, because all these things will make you worried. You want to hear what Kung Fu Panda says? Kung Fu Panda says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Very good kung fu for the day, huh? Simeon knew that when God has promised, God will provide you the motivation. If God asks you to do something, God will provide you the motivation. It can be hard, it can be challenging, and there'll be days you wake up, oh God, I have no more adrenaline, no more dopamine, no more energy. But hey, if you keep your eyes on the promise of God, you look at the eyes in the Lord Jesus Christ, eyes, the light, you will be fired up. And you, when you do not faint, as what Pastor tells us the last sermon, if you do not faint in due season, you will reap. And Simeon reaped the reward of beholding the reward, which is the Lamb of God. We need to lift up our eyes. And this is Christmas time. It's so good. You lift up your eyes and you see lights. Whoa, in the city. You lift up your eyes and you see Jesus is the king, the banner. And it's so good. I like you to lift up your eyes and to see the deliverance and the glory of the Lord, not just for the Christmas season, but on a daily basis. And I pray that you will say this answer to your question, which day is the best day to seek the Lord? It would be today. Which day is best to be righteous and devout? It would be today. And I pray that on a daily basis, you will hear what Abraham say, or what Abraham heard. Do not be afraid. Be re-energized. Because our reward is in Jesus. Jesus is my reward. And you pray like Anna, and you be resilient. You may be of age, and I am of a little bit of an age, but I tell you what, I am energized. I'm so energized. Pray like Anna and be resilient to wait for the day that God is going to come through to fulfill his promise and to live a righteous and devout life like Simeon. Be ready so that when God asks you to do something, even though it's not your type, not your personality, not your sort of ability, when God calls you, you can be ready. And when you do that, I tell you what, your life will be so different. You'll be energetic, you'll be motivated, and you've got a light on your face, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Music team, would you come forward? So good. Oh, Lord. Lord, you are so good. You are so good to us. This year had been such a difficult year, Lord, for a lot of people. We are so glad that we have you to trust in and to depend on. And we have you to look forward. Like, you know, it's almost like, okay, end of the year. The Lord Jesus' birth is going to give us that hope that all's not gone. And God, you are so good to help us keep focusing on that goal, the prize, the reward, and just go forward. Thank you, Lord, for that energy. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit in all of us. Thank you, Lord, for making our face shine with strength and with joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Very good songs this morning.